Hey, strangers. On today's episode, we're going to be talking with Logan Riley Bruner, who plays Fred Benson in Stranger Things Season 4. This interview was recorded during the summer when we did a lot of our interviews and we're just getting around to releasing them all. So I hope you enjoy this. It was a great talk and he's a lot of fun. Keep in mind, this was recorded via Skype. So just, know that while you're listening. Hope you guys had a great holiday and we will see you soon. Stay strange.
Hi, this is Logan Riley Bruner. I play Fred Benson on Season 4 of Stranger Things and you are listening to the Upside Down Podcast.
Hey, Logan.
Hi, Ash.
Hey, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast today. I'm really stoked to talk to you.
Of course, I'm really excited to talk to you too.
So first, I want to do a couple of notes of congratulations. The first is that you celebrated a birthday last week. I know this because my birthday is July 24th, and yours, I believe, is the 26th. So how did you celebrate?
I got a bunch of friends together, and we rented out a back room at Dave & Buster's and just, hung out and got food and drinks and played games, and it was really nice.
I don't know if you know this, but because you've been on Stranger Things, you're currently charting on IMDb. Your star charter is very high. You're in the top 5,000.
Yeah, I mean, when the show first came out, I hit 98. I have a, photo of when that happened, because that was a, big moment for me. I was, higher than Brad Pitt, and I was like, this is so wrong. This is not how this should look. But thank you. It's been super exciting.
I mean, even staying within the top 5,000 is amazing because there are so many people on there that you're lingering in people's minds. They're still searching you as they're finding the episode. So, I mean, that's pretty rad.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's really exciting.
And then the last big congratulations is you must be thrilled to be a part of a show that has just received 13 Emmy nominations. Outstanding drama, and a big part of that is you. How does that feel?
Well, I don't know about a big part of it, but it feels great. I mean, always being recognized for the work that we do and the creativity that the show has is just so amazing, and the fact that they're really getting the props that they deserve, I think. So I'm excited.
Yeah, totally. So now I want to do a little thing where I learn a little bit about you before we just jump into Stranger Things. I saw that you've been acting for a long time, and being from New York, I was curious if theater played any part in your career.
Oh, for sure. I started out when I was about 10, this musical theater camp that was called Rosie's Broadway Kids that later became Rosie's Theater Kids. It's Rosie O'Donnell's, musical theater educational company. They came to my school, and I, fell in love with singing and dancing. My parents had done acting for a while, but they had stopped because they had me, and they didn't want to be, the stage parents that forced me into it. So they let me kind of discover it on my own, but then I fell in love with theater when I was, 10. I started doing it a little bit more professionally when I was, 12 or 13, and I kind of haven't looked back since.
Are your parents just totally freaking out that you're, when they saw you on, they're like, that's our son. He did it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're both super proud. They're both super excited. I get to watch the episodes with my mom, which was really great. I get to talk to my dad, immediately after. They're both really proud of the fact that I've, gotten to this point, and they're just excited to see, what's coming next.
What kind of actor would you say you are? Are you, a method actor, or are you someone who can just, go to set and hone in, and then when they call cut, you just kind of chill with everyone, or do you have to, I'm staying as Fred?
I am definitely not method. I am not the kind of person that's only call me Fred Benson while I'm on set. That's it. I feel like I try and exist in the world. When we're there to work, we're there to work, and we're going to do it, and we're going to be in the world. But I also just, we're playing pretend. We dress up, and we play pretend for a living. And so, there's a certain aspect of that that's this is going to be a little ridiculous. So let's maybe take a step back. Let's have fun while we're doing this. I try and bring joy to everything that I do. There's only been really one project that I've worked on that I felt like I really needed to stay in character while I was working on it. And that was only because it was super emotional and super intense. And I felt like if I kind of broke that and was haha, let's have fun, I wasn't going to be able to get back to it. And so for the most part, I like to just be Logan until it's time to actually do the scene, and then we settle in and we find the rhythm, and and we have fun.
So you and I know that being on a set is, it can be really fun, and part of a production can be exhilarating, but there's also moments of a lot of downtime. And I imagine it was the same way for Stranger Things, especially with some of the scenes that you had to film. What do you like to do in your downtime when you're just like chilling between scenes? Are you reading lines or are you playing Pokemon Go? What's happening?
Oh my gosh, you're perfect. I love that. It's kind of a combo of things. I mean, with the changes to sets, with trying to keep everybody safe, there's a lot more distance. I used to really like just like getting to know cast members, but that doesn't really get to happen as much. So for this particular process, a lot of it was like I was working on a Dungeons & Dragons campaign, so like I was putting a lot of that together. And then I'm also a writer, so I just like I sit in my trailer and I try and write as much as I can, let the inspiration hit me where it does. And when I'm bored of that, I step outside into the sun and hope to see someone else that I can actually form a human connection with.
So were you filming during COVID, before COVID, or after COVID? What was your...
Originally, I was supposed to start on March 2020, but then, of course, the entire country shut down, and so I started officially in October, November of 2020, so we were still dealing with everything, and they kept us super safe, so I was never really worried about anything going wrong. But, yeah, I was filming, like, right during the heart. It was then, and then March 2021 through, like, April of 2021 was...
Oh, that's interesting. I remember the exact days because March 13th, someone in my office was kind of sick, and I had just been reading about it because of the umbrella thing. There was a big Resident Evil theme going in Threads.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go home. Like, it was a Friday. I was like, I don't want to be here. This person is hacking it up. I'm going to go. So I remember March 20th, you would have been like, that would have been right there. I think we found out that week. I think I was told we're not doing anything. So
yeah, it was like the day that I was supposed to fly down to Atlanta. They were like, hey, we're going to put things on pause for like 2 weeks. We think we're going to come back pretty soon, but just so you know. And then it was like, well, so we decided that it's going to be a little while.
So in Stranger Things, you were cast as the role of Fred Benson. Is that who you originally auditioned for?
For this season, yes. But originally, I auditioned for Jonathan Byers. Like, way back.
Oh. I can see that. I can see
thank
that.
Thank you. At the time, I mean, I still look like a baby right now, but, like, at the time, I looked even younger, and so I don't know how much sense it would have made to have Noah Schnapp be, like, my older brother and have me look the same age as him, so I totally understand. I also think that Charlie just does a fantastic job as Jonathan, so I put all the props to him. That was totally his role from the beginning.
Did you self-tape, or did you do that in person?
That was at the time that we were still doing in person, so I went in and I filmed in a casting studio in New York, didn't hear anything. I auditioned for the casting director for a couple other projects since then, and then I did a self-tape for Fred, and that's what got me on season 4.
You know, when Stranger Things, when people were first auditioning for it, it was like, I won't say it was an indie show because it was a Netflix show, but it definitely didn't have the budget that it has now, and it definitely had some unknowns in it, you know, that we now, everyone knows. When you auditioned for Charlie, or for his character, Jonathan, you didn't know how big it was going to be. How did you feel when you saw Stranger Things and you saw the character? Were you like, no?
I mean, honestly, I read parts of the script, and so I was just like, I was super excited to see the show. I thought it sounded like a really cool concept. And it was originally called something completely different, so when it came out, I was like, oh, this Stranger Things show looks really interesting. And it sounds familiar for some reason, but I don't know why. And then I watched the pilot and was like, oh, this is that show. So I really just fell in love with it right away. There was a sense of, like, darn, I'm not on this show. But also, like, they're going to keep going for a little while. So I'll have my chance to get on there.
Like, if I just wait 3 more seasons.
There will be a part that's just right for me.
Knowing that you had auditioned for it before and didn't get it, and then you auditioned for it this time and you did get it, how hyped were you? Just because it was something that now you knew what it was and you knew that it was something that you wanted to be a part of.
I mean, for real, I was thrilled. I jumped up and down and screamed and, like, freaked out because it was just such an amazing opportunity. At the time, we thought that season 4 was going to be the last season, so it was really, like, my last opportunity to do it. And to be able to say that, like, I'm on one of my favorite TV shows of all time is a really, it's just a humbling, super joy-filled feeling. I'm really honored to have been brought on to be a part of this thing that I've loved since the beginning, and just a great feeling.
So when you were auditioning for Fred, what were the sides like? What were they having you read?
I did do a self-tape. One of the sides was a scene that doesn't exist anymore, but it was very much talking about Jason and Eddie and just, like, what was going on in the situation. And then a second scene that I did was the scene in the car with Nancy, where we're talking about, like, when you and Jonathan investigated, did you split up, or why am I here, what are we going to do, what's our game plan? And so I self-taped both those scenes. I went out, I bought glasses so that I could really fit the four eyes aesthetic. And I filmed with my mom one night in New York, and then 2 months later, they shot me an email and were just like, "Hey, we'd love to have you as a part of the show." And I immediately said yes.
Do you remember that moment? What were you doing when the email came in?
I was sitting on my couch watching something. I don't remember what it was on TV with my mom, and I just looked over and I saw, "We'd like to offer Logan the role of," and the subject line was Stranger Things 4. And I just screamed and started jumping up and down. My mom thought that something terrible had happened. She was really worried. And I was like, no, it's good, it's good. I got the part. I'm going to be on Stranger Things 4. It's going to be so great. And so we freaked out together because she loved the show too, and it was just an amazing moment.
Also, I'm sure that your mom can appreciate as a fellow actor that, you know, you work really hard because you like the craft. You love doing the art. And so any part is kind of fun because it gives you a new experience and you get to work with different people. But knowing that you're going to work on something with, like, pretty much the cream of the crop, everyone that's at the top of their game right now, that must have been, she must have just, like, her heart must have been so full for you.
I mean, she's proud of me no matter what I do, which is an amazing feeling. She's been there from the, like, one line in the background to, like, this now. And so to be able to watch me kind of get to do scenes with these incredible actors and get to know them and collaborate with them more, I think she's super proud of that. I'm super thrilled about the fact that I got to be a part of this show that's really, like you said, it's absolute legends in the making, and to be able to say that I've worked with them early in their career is going to be a really great feeling, and hopefully it means that I'll be able to work with all of them someday down the line and get to actually do scenes with a lot of them, because I really only got to do major scenes with Natalia, and she's fantastic, and I loved getting to work with her so much. So it's just going to be a great feeling to get to do that with all the rest of the cast just as we continue to grow.
So some fans have said that Fred is kind of like a nerdy, aggressive person. But I see him as more of, like, he's very confident in himself and he's driven, which is interesting because he seems like kind of an outcast. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care what other people are thinking about him because he's so focused on what he's going to do. I'm curious, how did you see him?
I saw Fred as somebody who really cared deeply about the things that he cared about, and those things were journalism primarily, and then Nancy as kind of a secondary, like, you're my only friend. And, like, they're not really, like, buddy-buddy with each other. Like, they're not going to hang out outside of school, typically, unless, you know, somebody gets murdered and they need to go investigate that. But he cares about her as his intellectual equal, and he cares about this newspaper as kind of the opportunity to move to his next step. I feel like Fred was always thinking about, like, what's next. He's kind of that guy that's like, high school doesn't matter, I'm going to get to college, and then I'm going to get to the real world, and then everyone's going to regret picking on me because I'm going to be the guy that signs their paychecks. And so he has very much that mindset to him, but also, like, this one human who's just really kind of open and upfront with him and treats him like an equal and doesn't back down from him, I think he finds really interesting, and he also finds her passion for journalism super, super inviting. And so I think he cares about those two things really deeply, and I came from a place of that, of just, he's a person who's really smart but who really cares about the things he cares about, and so he's going to dedicate himself to that.
Yeah, so I have a follow-up question, which you answered a little bit of, but I just want to get into it because I know it's something that fans really talk about. Your character says that Nancy is the most desirable girl in school, and he seems really upset that Nancy is letting Jonathan, as he sees it, treat her poorly. This is a two-parter. Do you think he has a crush on her, or is it kind of what you implied, that it's more that he respects her strength and intelligence as a colleague, and he doesn't like to see someone that he feels is so kind of, like, powerful and could be something great on his level, letting someone treat her in a way that he finds just disgusting?
I think there's a combo. I think I always like to let the fans decide whether or not Fred had a crush on her or not. I think I played scenes in both directions. I think for a lot of the time, I think Fred doesn't know how Fred feels. I think he's at that stage where he has kind of written off high school and, like, being a person with personal relationships, And so there's that aspect of, like, I don't like people. I don't have feelings for people. But Nancy is somebody that's kind of different than anybody that he's met, so he definitely has a unique relationship with her. And I think there's also the aspect of just, like, she's incredibly gorgeous. I'm sure he's seen, like, a ton of guys stop by the newspaper room to, like, try and, like, talk to Nancy. And he's known her in the past just from being around Hawkins as, like, Steve Harrington's ex-girlfriend, and, like, she was dating this other guy, and all these people have been really interested in her, and yet she's with this dude who doesn't really seem to give her the respect that she deserves. He's kind of very passive in their relationship, and I'm a huge fan of Jonathan. I think his character is fantastic, but I think just from the perspective of Fred, seeing somebody that you really care about kind of get ignored by their partner and have their partner kind of write them off as something passive that they don't really need to pay attention to, I don't think he's a huge fan of that. And so there is an aspect of caring deeply about her and wanting her to get what she deserves. And he's also just straight up and blunt. There's not really anyone else in the school, at least that we see, that kind of has the popularity or the charm of Nancy. And so he's kind of upfront about the fact that, like, you could have any guy in this school that you want, and you're settling for the guy who is halfway across the country, not really giving you the time of day, and who's not willing to come visit you during his spring break. That's not what you're worth. And so that's kind of a roundabout way, I think, of answering what you were asking. But, yeah, that's kind of how I feel like Fred feels about all that.
Yeah, that's how I took it, too. I took it as, like, Nancy in her life has so many things that she will just, like, investigate, and she will not drop it. If she finds something wrong with it, she's going to talk your ear off about it. She will find an answer. And in this one little aspect of her life, she's kind of, like, making excuses for something, and so it's unusual. And Fred sees that, and he's calling her on it. So that's how I took it. I didn't think he was being super aggressive with her in that way. I thought he was just like, Nancy, this is not who you are.
Right, like, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve somebody that's not gonna put the time and the effort in to, like, actually make a long-distance relationship work, which, like, he's kind of right about in the end, in the aspect that, like, her boyfriend is lying to her, ultimately. He doesn't know that, but he is on to something. His journalistic instincts are kicking in.
So Stranger Things loves a good, unexpected friendship or duo. How fun was it for you to be a part of one of those pairings? You know, we had the unexpected duo of, like, Steven, I was going to say Gayton, but Dustin. And so you're off on this little, you know, adventure with Nancy. It's really cool. Was it fun?
I thought it was super exciting. I thought it was a blast. I mean, I love Natalia. I think she's a fantastic actress. And so being able to work with her was just a joy. And I think all the scenes the Duffers wrote for us were really fun, and just, like, we got to kind of quip back and forth with each other and be a little sassy, and that's always a good time. And I love their dynamic. I think that having someone, I think Nancy has shared the screen a lot the past three seasons with people who are constantly trying to keep up with her. So to have a character that was able to kind of stay on her level and counter with her is something that's super interesting. I think Fred never gets to the point where he's frustrated at her. He's always just trying to kind of counter her and show her a different perspective and put his own thoughts on things. And so I think to kind of have two intellectual equals in that way is a really interesting dynamic for the two of them. So I had a blast.
I like the energy that you brought out in her, because Nancy always has this thing where she starts off one way and she kind of moves towards another. So when she's talking to you in the newsroom, she's kind of snarky with you, like, you don't know what you're talking about, and don't talk to me about being beautiful, and I don't want to hear what you have to say. And then when you're in the car, she starts taking things in. And then when you go missing, you just see that deep empathy that Nancy has. And she's like, oh no, where's my buddy? And so I really like the dynamic between you two. I do have a question. As you and Nancy are investigating Chrissy's death, the audience learns that you were part of a hit-and-run causing. That's where your trauma stems from, that Vecna is kind of going at. And the character leaves. In your mind, how did you cope with that? Like, because, you know, as an actor, you have to love your character because you have to find a way to argue how this person would act a certain way. And then when you found that aspect of him out, which isn't, it's not great, How did you internalize that? Like, how did you think Fred would internalize that and make the decision that he made?
Well, I think there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that happen that we don't see. I don't know how much the Duffers are going to go into it in season five, so I've kept a lot of the backstory that we've talked about kind of close to the chest. But I think you have to find things about characters that you really love. And I think just in what we see, like, Fred was involved clearly in something that's really awful and really dramatic and resulted in, like, a car flipping and catching on fire. And, like, no matter how it was caused or what happened or if he could have helped somebody or not, that's a terrifying situation to be in, especially back in the 80s when there's not a cell phone. You can't, like, call for help or ask somebody, like, get someone on the phone to come do something about this. So I think there's a lot of aspects of just, like, being afraid and not really knowing what to do and being a kid and being caught up in a situation that you're not prepared for. And so I tried to just approach it with as much grace and love for him as I could, that he made a mistake, and whether that mistake was something he caused or something he could have adjusted, I think the Duffers might play into that in season 5 with some of the stuff that's going on with our main characters and seeing how kind of those things weave and cross over. But I think that I just had to approach it with an aspect of finding the reasons that he would do what he did and really trying to justify them as best I could, and then allowing the fact that he felt guilty about what happened kind of feed into those scenes with Vecna and the kind of way that his ending comes about.
Yeah, I think that personally when I watched it, what my take was that Fred obviously isn't... I've gotten some emails that are like, Fred is terrible. He deserved what he got. And I'm like, no. Here's the thing. Vecna is able to terrorize Fred because he has this trauma inside. And he has trauma because he's a decent human. And I agree, like what you said, you know, you're a kid and something like that happens. Your brain is trying to comprehend, like, what happened? And you're out in the middle of nowhere and we don't have the technology that we have today. So I think that in that moment, he was like in a fight or flight situation and he made the decision he had to make. And then when he was back at, you know, Casa de la Fred and he was just relaxing, it probably came to him and he was like, what I did was awful, and hence the torment. So I think Fred's okay. I think he's a good guy. So that's what I saw from it. That's what I took from it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Fred did not deserve what he got.
Justice for Fred.
Justice for Fred. Oh, we have a question with that, but we'll come into it. So trauma allows Fred to be taken over by Vecna, and he ultimately gets what we're calling the crunch. How intensive was your prep work for that stunt? Did you work with Hito, or was more of a visual effects? I imagine they had to raise you up, you know, something.
The Fred fumble. It's so great. It was, or the Fred fold, I think I've heard it. I've heard it called on TikTok a couple of places.
We call it the crunch.
The Chrissy crunch, the Patrick plunge, the we all got destroyed. It was a lot of fun. I did get to work with Hito. He's absolutely incredible. He's so kind. It's a stunt in multiple parts. The crunch in particular was kind of two main parts. It's the first part is a lot of VFX. It's me in a tent surrounded by like 300 cameras that take a picture of me from every angle so that they can do some of those CGI things. And then it's out on the road with wires being raised and then doing a stunt drop where they like start to lower my body so they can get the first part of that drop done. But yeah, I was up in the air for a lot of that, doing the pretending to be in a trance and looking up at the sky and all of that stuff. And it was a hot Atlanta, Georgia night. So we were filming out there late and it was an intense process. I've got a bunch of videos and photos of behind the scenes that I'm excited to keep releasing. I've been releasing some over on my Instagram, but I'll be releasing some for that particular stunt soon. And it was a lot of fun, and they kept me super safe. And it was my first time on wires, so that was an amazing experience. But yeah, Hito did a great job with that and with every stunt that we had to do throughout that show. And I was really, really honored and really excited to get to work with him and to just see the entire process kind of unfold in front of me.
Yeah, he's awesome. We're going to have him on again. He's been on once. He's a big supporter. And he is going to do an episode specifically where he tells us step by step, like, how he achieved all of these different stunts. I was curious, when you saw that stunt was going to be happening, did you think you were going to have a stunt double? Or was it something that you were like, oh, I want to do this? Or were they just like, you have to do this?
I mean, I always hoped for the ability to do it. I like to do all my own stunts. There was only one that they wouldn't let me do, and I was kind of okay with that, and that was falling into the grave, because that's a full story drop, and they didn't want me to, like, break my ankle. And so they had a stunt double do that, but everything else was me, and I was excited and thrilled to do it. I love stunt work. I think it's exciting. I think that the ability to tell stories on scene with physicality is something that I really like, and so to be able to to work with Hito and to get to do a lot of my own stunts was super exciting. To be able to be up close to the action, I think, really helps to tell the story, and it was just a blast for me.
So Stranger Things obviously has an amazing visual effects team. For you, how did it feel, or how were your parents when they saw your death in such a brutal, violent detail? I mean, I know that you're acting, but it's still their child.
It was fun. I mean, I loved watching it. I thought it was super exciting. My mom had a bit of a hard time. I made a whole TikTok with her about it, and I'm doing one with my dad to kind of talk to him about the process. But it's always weird to watch your kid get broken into pieces. This is my second on-screen death, so my parents had had kind of a little bit of a fret beforehand. But I'm sure it was a bizarre, uncomfortable process to watch your son have all his bones broken on screen and his eyes sucked into his skull. And yeah.
See, that's the thing. I think that they can prep for a death scene because there's like a little blood or someone's like, no, I can't. And then they kind of like pass out beside your child being raised up and then crack, crack, crunch. Like, it's very, so violent, so violent.
Oh, yeah. It was a brutal one for sure. But, I mean, to be a part of a show like this and to get a death like that that you know is going to be memorable is so cool.
Now, I am sure you've gotten this question a lot, but I wouldn't be doing our podcast justice if I didn't ask you. If there was someone who could save you from Vecna, I'm assuming it would be Nancy. What song would you want her to play for you?
I think this is the problem with Fred, and I've talked about this a little bit, is that Fred doesn't really listen to music. Fred's kind of the guy that just, like, keeps his head down. Like, he's not a fan of hardcore rock. He's not, like, he's definitely not excited to be at the pep rally. So, like, I feel like the fact that music is the thing that breaks through would have resulted in a lot of problems for Fred because he doesn't really have songs that he listens to. So I feel like he was kind of screwed either way, even if they knew how to save him. They'd be like, what can we play for him? And it'd be like, I don't know, Schoolhouse Rock? Like, what is he like?
Well, also as fans, we're just assuming that music is going to be what saves people because it saved the dad at the beginning and it saved Max. But we don't know what Chrissy's thing was and we don't know what Fred's thing was. Maybe you could have been saved by, like, the written word. Maybe if Nancy wrote something for you, because that's what your passion is writing and words. If Nancy was to write a quick little something to Fred and in an attempt to save you, what do you think it would be? I think it would be an acknowledgement of her respect and admiration for you and how you've inspired her to become a better person with your constant, you know, barraging of her, that it's actually made her who she is and the writer that she is. What do you think?
Honestly, I think it'd probably be a bit more sassy than that. I think that their relationship just kind of dictates that they kind of pick on each other. And so I feel like it would be a letter about, like, listen, you're not allowed to die yet, because you're so annoying, and, like, I need you to help me finish this paper. So would you mind just, like, not right now? We've got too much going on. We've got a deadline on Friday. You need to come back.
Yeah, I agree. I know that a lot of people have made the comment that no one should be friends with Nancy because her dear friends or even acquaintances die in brutal deaths. So she could add in a line, you know, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm going to make this happen. I think that's how Vecna was able to pull Nancy in with the barb trauma, but what do you think? Do you think people should be friends with Nancy, or should they beware?
I think I'm worried. I'm concerned about Robin because the two of them got really close this season, and Nancy's friends do not live. They die.
And they die brutally. It's not just like they die.
The Nancy curse is real, and so, I mean, I'm worried. I'm worried about whoever they bring in. If it continues to be Robin and they build on that relationship, Nancy is not a good luck charm. Nancy does not have success when it comes to keeping her friends alive, so I'm a little concerned.
Well, that's why we're a little bit worried about the dynamic between Jonathan and Nancy, because we're like, is Jonathan going to save? Is he going to die so that Nancy can be happy with Steve? Or is Steve going to die so she can be happy with Nancy? And I could not. Or Jonathan, and I don't think I could handle that.
Yeah, I'm worried about the main cast this coming season. Season 5 is going to be brutal. I'm really worried about Steve. They've made us like him too much, and it's just that feeling that, like, what a character to go. I'm concerned, for sure.
So I know that when you're filming, sometimes they'll let you see multiple parts of the script, and sometimes they won't. On a show like Stranger Things, where secrecy is so important because they're really trying to, like, unravel this mystery for you, Did you know that your character was going to be so important to Vecna's plan, like that you were going to be one of the top four that he needed to make his plan take place? Or were you surprised when you watched that on the episode?
I didn't. I got the first two episodes to read, like, all the way through if I wanted, but I did not. Because I am a fan, and so I wanted to watch it along with everybody else, so I just kind of control-F'd and found everything that had to do with Fred and ignored the rest. So I was very surprised when it came to the end of the season, and it was like, oh, I'm not just, like, one of the bodies that drops early. It's actually a big deal. What happens leads to kind of the penultimate moment of this destruction of Hawkins, and so... I was very excited when I saw that, and I'm very intrigued by what kind of happens in season 5 based on that. So I didn't know that Fred was going to be as important as he was. I knew he was going to be important for Nancy, but to kind of see the results and the fact that my body shows up a couple more times was really exciting for me when I watched the show.
If Fred had survived Vecna, what do you think, I don't know, what do you think he would have become? Do you think he would have achieved what he wanted to achieve, or do you think he would have been kind of, maybe been writing some books on the deaths that happened in Hawkins? What do you think Fred's outcome might have been?
I'm not sure, honestly. I mean, how do you recover from that, right? Like, Max has a difficult time coming back from it when she gets saved. And so, if we're talking about, like, Nancy saves Fred from the clutches of Vecna, and he's just relived his trauma and is now back, like... I think there's part of him that might want to just run away again and retreat. There's part of him that would want to charge in and, like, figure out what was going on. I'm not sure how involved he would have ended up being, how interested in everything that was going on, and how active he would have been. I think he would have been a really interesting addition to the dynamic. To see, like, him and Eddie interacting would have been a really interesting change. But honestly, I'm not sure. I think that... coming back from something like that is so hard that the fact that Max is able to do it in the first place is a testament to how strong her character is. And so I really don't know. I feel like Fred would have just needed to take a couple weeks in a mental asylum just to, like, recover from what was happening.
I noticed that there's a theme in Stranger Things where Nancy tends to connect with people as they're fighting off some kind of danger. So in the first season, she's with Steve, but there's this traumatic event that's happened with Barb, and so she's pulled towards Jonathan. And then we have the same thing happening this season where she's with Jonathan, but these things are happening, and Steve is there for her, and so she's kind of, you know, pulled towards Steve. If she was to save you, I feel like she would be, like, pulled towards Fred. She would have to make sure that you were taken care of and that you were safe and that you were well. I don't know. I feel like Nancy just needs to be alone for a while, but I do wonder if she would... that tends to be where she gets a connection. Like, something is going on, she wants to solve this mystery, and she gravitates towards that. Do you think she'd be taking care of Fred?
I mean, I feel like she'd try. I think there'd definitely be an aspect of that fear of having another person get barbed, as we are wont to say. But I think it would probably have just resulted in her doubling down on what was happening and really trying to make sure that another friend of hers didn't get hurt. I think there's that aspect of trying to isolate herself after Fred dies, and I think we would have seen the same thing even if he had lived, that feeling of, like, I am a danger to the people around me, so I need to kind of isolate myself. But, yeah, I think she would have tried to solve the mystery, if for no other reason than to make sure that nothing happened to Fred, that he would be okay in the long run.
I'm hoping that Fred will appear in season 5, because I think that it's kind of like you mentioned, you know, we see the first three victims of Vecna, and we get a little taste of their backstory. We don't really know what's happening. Like, we don't really know fully the whole picture of what happened with each person. And I feel like the way that they ended season 5, everyone is like, Vecna's dead, but we know that he's not dead. He's going to be a host in somebody somewhere. Something's happening. You'd have to go back to those stories, because you'd have to figure out, how was he able to access them? Why were they chosen? So I do think, and I'm hoping we'll get a little bit more of that backstory, so I do hope that you pop in season 5. But for now, let's get to some fan questions. I just grabbed a couple that I thought were kind of interesting. Dorky Malevin says, was it a coincidence that your character had a similar name to Freddie Benson on iCarly? Do you think maybe a Stranger Things writer enjoyed that show as a kid and kind of gave you a little call out?
I never asked them about it. I knew when I walked on the set that it was going to be a whole thing, and we had all joked about it. I feel like part of it was I think it just kind of happens sometimes. And then I also think that just, like, that's a fun joke to play. I've heard the fan rumor that Fred was the uncle of Freddie Benson, and so that's why his mom is so protective, is because her brother died in this awful way in Hawkins, Indiana. And so we have that hope. When the show came out, that people would make those connections and have fun with it. And so I'm just kind of taken joy by the fact that people are comparing us. And if someday Nathan Kress notices it and makes a joke about it, it's going to make my whole day. So I'm excited about it.
Guys, tweeted him. So let's make it happen. So Heather wants to know, what was your favorite scene to film?
My favorite scene to film, I have two, kind of for two different reasons. The first is the basketball scene. It was my first opportunity to really work with the rest of the cast, to get to meet Caleb and Joe Keery and Amy Beth and Maya, and kind of get to collaborate with all of them, which wasn't something that I got to do on a lot of the rest of the show because we're so just separate. And then the other one is Vecna in the Grave. I mean, getting to work with Jamie was just an absolute honor. He's an incredible actor, and so being able to play in that space and really feel that intensity was just an incredible feeling.
Well, that's a follow-up question. Milt Hanson wanted to know, what was it like when you saw Jamie for the first time as Vecna?
It was scary. I didn't know it was Jamie because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to work with this guy. And, like, I know him because I love Sweeney Todd and, like, Harry Potter and all of that. He's awesome, but cool. And then I saw the monster show up, and I was like, oh my, what the heck is that? And so it was a little scary at first, but I did get to meet him, like, as Jamie. He, like, came over, we got introduced, we got to talk for a second before we kind of dove into the intensity, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, he's in it to win it, and he's a super talented actor, so it really gave me a ton to work with just as we were collaborating.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's amazing. That's super cool. Last question is, Karen just wants to know, do you have a favorite 80s film or song?
Do I have a favorite 80s film? I mean, I gotta say Nightmare on Elm Street, because it's a classic. It's amazing. I think meeting a young Johnny Depp is super fun, and I love that whole series. I think it's super creepy, and it was kind of the birth of a lot of the things that we're doing this season on Stranger Things, and getting to bring in Robert Englund is super exciting. So Nightmare on Elm Street for sure.
Well, thanks, Logan. Thanks for being on the show today.
It's
really great to talk to you. If people don't already know how to follow you on social media, how can they connect with you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, sometimes on Facebook, Logan Riley Bruner. You can also find my production company on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok at Black Wolves Productions. We're putting out a bunch of cool new stuff, so if you want to see me doing personal work or creating new projects, go check me out there. That's where you'll be able to find me.
Thanks, Logan. You have a great day. Have fun in your next interview.
All right. Stay strange, everybody. Thanks, Ash. I appreciate it so much. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Upside Down podcast hosted by sisters Ash and Tori. For more information, visit our website at theupsidedownpod.com. You can also contact us at theupsidedownpod@gmail.com, as well as follow us on our Facebook and Instagram under the Upside Down podcast. Episodes are released every other Monday, so be sure to subscribe. If you love the podcast, be sure to review us on whatever you listen to us on. Thanks again. Stay strange.